Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I feel like I'm at home. I'm at home at Honey's in Halethorpe. I once supported the Lion of Halethorpe, John Coulihan. You kids can look that up. He ran for Baltimore County Executive unsuccessfully back in the 70s. Ted Venatoulis gave me such a, I beat his ass. We're over here in Halethorpe. We're at Honey's. They invited me here. They told me they had a crab cake and some delicious Asian food. I said, you know, it's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and GBMC, but I'm happy to have some Asian food. I'm happy to shoot some pool here. They have some billiards here as well, and it is a pleasure to be here. I'm looking at a Guinness Blonde. They're delivering beer here. They have a liquor store. It's fantastic. Nick Stewart is here. He is a citizen running for Baltimore County Executive. I've invited Julian Jones on. I've invited Izzy. I'm going to have the Republican side. I'm going to have everybody. Everybody that's running is going to have their time on. Nick is a defending champion who came on a few years ago over at State Fair to talk about land and zoning with a group called We the People. He has now thrown the hat in to no longer be a citizen. He wants to be the Baltimore County Executive. And, dude, you've been picking up endorsements left and right. I don't know if you're picking up cash, money, this, that, but you're on my timeline. A lot of serious people that I respect are sticking their neck out for you, dude. So, I mean, that's a big part of winning is getting endorsed, right? Because you've never run for anything, have you?
I have ran for delegate in 2014 and was done with it. I was not going to run for public office. There are other ways.
Is that your wife or your business partners?
No,
what was that?
You know? That was me.
You take a pay cut? What do you want to do?
Look, you know, you put your neck out there, you try to serve, and there are lots of other ways to serve in life. But we are at a different moment. We're at an inflection point. I started this group, We the People, to fight for housing, to fight for revitalization in this county. And as it turns out, we didn't just stay still as a county. We moved backwards, and that was at the hands of our county council. We imposed a housing ban last year in Baltimore County. We are moving the wrong direction. And so for me, it felt like it's a put up or shut up moment. We got to do this as a county.
So I had you on as a prospective candidate last year. You joined me. Well, it was in the spring, right? We were White Marsh.
That's right.
And it's an ice rink right now, and it's a Christmas scene, and the mall's the mall, and I lived out there. My son went to Perry Hall. Now we're on the other side, right? So the folks at Honey's invited me, they threw me a note like, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, said, hey, what would it take to do the show out here? And I'm like, electricity and a crab cake of some kind, you know? But I didn't know if it was in the county
way to your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm like, sure. Halethorpe, sure. Okay, it must be in the county because it said Halethorpe. But when I looked it up, the city's like 3 blocks away.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I talked about Izzy about, and I'll talk to anybody about Kathy, I talked to Moeller about it, it's why we founded Baltimore Positive, probably was talking to you about it when you were doing We the People, is this demarcation. I said to Max Weishaupt, I say, treat Baltimore City like it's Gaza or like it's some island that we go to, Lebanon, we have to go in and out. Yep. Like it's not that way. It's right there.
Right? Right
I
there.
Drove through it. I had to drive from the county into the city, back to the county to get here. I think that's the most important thing for me, being Baltimore Positive, being a county business owner, resident, voter, all of that, is to say, I don't want to hear from pitting this against that, because I spent too much time in the city. I was there yesterday. I'm going to be there again next Friday. From the county perspective, that's not always popular in, let's say, Middle River, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we try to establish some walls and say that if only they can be high enough, then our problems won't be so bad. That is not the right way of thinking about our region, about our competitiveness. Look, we share a very similar heart, right? We share the name. We share Baltimore. And if we go compete regionally across this country, which we have to do more and more of, people don't know. They don't know that we are one of three places across the country that separate the county from the city that's right next to it.
Well, let's play the golf tournament. That was in Baltimore, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like that golf tournament.
That's right.
Nobody says city, county, when the horse race is, the Preakness is here, they think Baltimore. It's in Baltimore, right? The Orioles play in Baltimore. The Ravens Ravens train in Baltimore County, right?
Right.
I mean, Orioles players live in Baltimore County. Like, it's not, this isn't us against them. I had Ivan Bates out last month for a Connects event. I'm going to have him on the show. But somebody in the county, a Republican, asked him, what can we do to help you? We can't vote for you. And he said, take a chance on the city. And I'm like, chance. That just sounds crazy. Yeah. I'm gonna give him a fun hard time about that, but I take a chance every day. I drive into the city, you know. But I just think as one goes, the other goes.
Absolutely.
I just think it's really important. And I know you're here running for Baltimore County, and I'm talking about the city, but I just think it's a part of your charm because you know better.
Well,
you know, you do.
I talk about us being one county. So we have this problem even in the county itself. The west side, it can't influence what happens on the east side. And the east side, how dare they talk about what happens in North County or, you know, in the southwest portion of Baltimore County. But more than being one county, we're one region. We really are. And so I'm actually nested a preview with you. I'm writing an op-ed right now with a city council person on regionalism. And just more than just platitudes, we're trying to get to the specifics. So think about our tax regime. Think about housing reform and delivering revitalization in our inner beltway communities. Think about our transit opportunities. Think about the crime fight. Think about water and sewer. The average water pipe is 75 years old in our region. The average sewer pipe is 50 years old. We have got to solve for these things together as one region.
Water's a big one, dude. You know, my buddy worked at the poop plant forever, but he was a city worker.
Mm.
But the poop plant was in the county.
Yeah, that's right.
Right in front of my house.
Yeah.
So, I got that lesson pretty early on a hot day over at Colgate. But it is, it's weird. I mean, that's just weird, right? It's not like that in Detroit. It's not like that in Milwaukee. It's not like that in Kansas City, right?
No, that's exactly right. So it's only like that in St. Louis and in Carson. Nevada.
Okay.
And so we have this really interesting dynamic now that unless we come together and start trying to solve regionally and setting discrete goals that we can hold ourselves accountable for, platitudes are fine, but they're not really good enough. We're going to have a plan in place with our city partners to try to achieve those things that we know we need most as a region. And these things won't happen. These are indivisible lines that divide us. And so we have a real opportunity right this minute because we are losing population because we share similar challenges on the crime fight, on housing, that we have an opportunity to then solve for them together.
Are you running as pissed off resident and dressed up nice like Clark Kent and being polite and well-spoken? I mean, are you angry, frustrated? I mean, clearly you're motivated, right?
Yeah.
You're here. You're Nick Stewart's here, by the way. He's running for county executive. For me, I almost ran for this whole thing started when I was going to run for mayor of Baltimore, and it was like sort of why, and I thought it needs to be, I would say it needs to be fixed. That was going to be my platform, was I'm the one to fix it.
Yeah.
Somebody honest needs to get in and fix it.
Yeah.
Baltimore County, I mean, I thought with Johnny O, and I thought from where Kamenetz was and Jim Smith, there was a nice lineage of the land of pleasant living. And look, yeah. I can give platitudes that I'm on the east side and the poor side, and Colgate got rebuilt, Dundalk got rebuilt, these schools and the things that were important to me as a county voter, a county resident now, and a county business owner, which I've been for 3 decades. Like, I liked all of that as the city was falling apart, and I'm losing my shirt living in the city, like literally.
Yeah.
And I didn't have kids in school and all that, and I'm paying high taxes and high and all that. But for me with the county, the notion that you're dissatisfied, right? Mm. I was dissatisfied living in the city, and it wasn't even about my experience. It was about, look at what this is doing to everyone. Look around.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Can't we get somebody to step up? Why did you run? Because I don't sense anger in you when I talk to you, but I do sense like there's a lot of things you think could be better. Let's put it to you that way.
So I am hopeful, I think, more than anything else. And I'm trying to operate and shake people out of this sense that we can do more of the same, that's good enough. We've got to move with urgency. More of the same will not cut it. I mean, Nestor, we are losing population for the first time in 100 years in Baltimore County.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Because of housing and the cost of living. So cost of living is the big thing. It's unaffordable to live in Baltimore County. People are trying to find more affordable opportunities. And the primary driver of that is housing. It has never been more expensive to buy a home in Baltimore County based on income. And incomes have fallen for 7 years in a row. But the other issue is our schools. And that schools and jobs, they're related. But in schools, 74% of our kids who go to Baltimore County public schools are living in poverty right now. Where was the alarm? I am angry that we
74%. Now that would mean that they're getting the little tickets at lunch.
Well, it's
right?
we provide that
right?
for everyone now.
Okay.
So
but,
free.
But I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm learning.
So I mean, that's how broad-based the challenge ultimately is. And look, we saw the housing crisis coming. This is why I started this group, We the People, 4.5 years ago, to talk about these issues and say, there's a way to head this off. It doesn't have to be so bad in Baltimore County, but now it is this bad. And so if we are going to prevent ourselves from allowing these issues to harden and where they become nearly unsolvable and that we push them to the next generation and we force our kids out of our county, then we have to do it right this minute. This is the moment to intervene. This is the moment to have a plan. We are, Nestor, the only campaign that has a plan whatsoever, full stop. If you go to this website that we have, you will see it is the most comprehensive plan of any campaign in this race. It's also the most comprehensive plan for housing in county history. This is why we got
the
support.
You're talking housing first, right? That is a, you know, public safety's there. I mean, all these taxes, all those things. But you think housing, and that's your background, is in the key to livability and affordability and growth.
But I was vice chair of the school board, right? And so those things tie together for me. We see that housing is a primary indicator of a child's ability to have academic positive outcomes. And so they're very closely related. I also was on the Workforce Development Board for Baltimore County for 8 years. I served on and still serve on the Southwest Community Development Corporation. So all of these things have allowed me to build out a plan together with over now 480 individual sit-down conversations with moms and dads, community leaders, government officials to build out a plan for our county that reflects the beauty and the strength and the integrity of the people that are in Baltimore County. We're ready for this. We're ready for big things in Baltimore County. We need to launch on them in an intentional and urgent way.
So if I go to your website, what am I going to find? What are the top five things that will be first priority for you?
Yeah. So let me tackle this in two ways. Let me say, first and foremost, what you're going to hear from us is we're going to talk about affordability, we're going to talk about inclusion, and we're going to talk about making this county more modern so that it operates not like a sleepy country town, which Baltimore County has often operated as, but instead operates as a place that uses best practices, that sees and hears its people, even if they can't make it all the way around the county and wait for 5 or 6 hours until the county council is ready to hear from them. We are going to include them in the conversation too, so we see and hear them as well. So you're going to hear those three big talking points. But the plan, let's do the highlights, right? We are going to legalize starter homes in Baltimore County, which we really haven't done.
What's a starter home? Okay.
So minimum lot size needs to be smaller. What we've done in this county is we have a pretty large minimum lot size, which prevents more people from moving into the neighborhood or from using your schools or from using your grocery store. That's a problem. We should be able to build smaller houses. These are 1,400 square feet and smaller. And we can do this for $200,000 using prefabricated homes, pre-approved housing designs, and in this county delivering them, particularly within the inner Beltway communities. This is where we're desperate for revitalization. I had the honor.
So you're talking about the new world of row homes, as I would know it in Dundalk.
Row homes, but also single family. I mean, you can build great, beautiful, integral communities using this type of home development and home technology. On top of that, revitalizing all sorts of town centers across Baltimore County. Think about Security Square Mall. If we had the actual, instead of taking 8 to 9 years to just get to the place we are now, which is a request for proposals that was issued, and we're desperately seeking one qualified
Everything's
bidder.
Everything's slow, right? Harbor
but it
Way,
shouldn't be.
So it's just
it can,
everywhere,
it
right?
It can't be. So think about $200,000 starter homes and revitalized town centers. Think about true universal pre-K in Baltimore County, as well as expanding our community schools model, which provides services to not just the kids, but also to the families, a new accountability tool that brings teachers into the conversation in Baltimore County on the data and on the policymaking for our schools, a new jobs department. We don't do economic development like any other county in central Maryland. It's ridiculous how far behind we are. New jobs department, innovation districts. This is what Atlanta did with Georgia Tech, based out of UMBC. We can tie it together there. We can tie it together with Towson and bring new vibrancy. People don't necessarily love college towns, but they do love this idea that there's true innovation and a pipeline of graduation into the economy.
Well, the UMBC thing has always been a little weird because it was built to be an enclave.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't built to be a college town.
Sure.
And it doesn't ever really spill over into Catonsville that I feel.
Yeah.
When I'm walking around Catonsville, I don't feel like it's UMBC Central in the way that you walk through Towson and, you know, you realize that the university's adjacent to it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the final piece, there's more to this, and you'll see this on the website. you know, having a Department of Human Rights and Equity to talk through the institutional racism and bias that it has existed in Baltimore County, to promote LGBTQ issues, to acknowledge that we are living in fearful and dangerous times from the federal government, and how do we protect our immigrant communities?
Well,
and
I'm
new
Venezuelan,
American communities.
Bro, so you don't have to tell me.
Right.
You know, my elementary school over on the east side's 75% Hispanic, and my son, and I encountered a Baltimore County third grade teacher last week. Anybody follows my social media, she's been outed already, but she sat at a table with me and talked to me about having a little girl, third grader, come up to her and say to her, "Miss blah, 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 I'm worried that they're going to come and take my parents away." It's a third grade teacher. It's somebody I've known 30 years. And they're going to be taken away because they look like me. All of a sudden. Hmm. It didn't take long for, this witch hunt that Trump started 10 years ago to get to my people. I'm Venezuelan. My family's there. Like, all of that. So it's gotten a lot more personal for me the second time around with this creep.
Right.
That he serves the time under a jail that he needs to be serving. On behalf of the ladies that have been assaulted as well. So, yes.
The important question for us is, one, how do we prevent this from being normalized? Because it's not normal. This is not another president whose term we just need to survive through. This is a moment in time that defines the very character of our country and the very character of our county.
What do we stand for?
What do we stand for? Are we going to be a place?
What kind of people are we?
There you go.
We celebrate the birth of Christ 2 weeks from now, right? What kind of people are we?
Right.
That's all.
This is the conversation. So you heard me, I think, say affordability. You heard me say modern. But the other word there is inclusion, right? We have an opportunity to define ourselves as a place that wants new families, wants new residents, and in a way embraces and leverages their incredible strength that we have in Baltimore County. We are a diverse place. We are a big place, we are a diverse place, but we are one county. And there's a real opportunity for us to see and hear people in a way that we haven't. We have to stand up the structure to do it, because we don't have that kind of department. Right now, we have a division buried within an office, buried within a department.
Are you thinking new, heading up new departments? You have
absolutely. Structural reform is huge here.
What kinds of things are missing in county government right now?
So, there's quite a bit to talk about, but at a very high level, think about simply having a government performance-based measurement and management system that undergirds everything that we do.
CityStat.
You got it.
All right.
You know it.
I had Matt Gallagher on the show 2 days ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, you have smart people and you learn stuff, you know? I mean, you just do.
Yeah.
I wasn't born this smart, even though I had a good Baltimore County education. It's bringing people like you on. I want to hit a couple of these hot topics. Inspector General and where that is. Let's talk about that role and what that looks like in a Stewart administration.
Okay. So we have one.
Right.
We'll have one in the Stewart administration.
And they'll be overseeing you as well.
And they'll be overseeing me as well.
Making
and they
sure
won't be controlled
up and up.
By me either. And look, we're going to adopt the best practices. The report that came out, the task force study, had 20 recommendations. Our council adopted a handful of them. I will encourage us and will promote the bill to advance all of the recommendations. We could have avoided this, Nestor. If we had just done what Baltimore City or other jurisdictions had done, we would have had an independent commission to actually appoint inspector generals in this county. We don't do it. We do things, you know, slapdash, lowest common denominator type of
the way we've always done them, maybe.
And then we cry foul and say, "Oh, look, we need a problem solver for this." Yes, but we could have fixed it at the outset. Why do we keep doing this to ourselves over and over again? And now we have an inspector general who left, and the law doesn't speak to how that person should be replaced. I know we're in the weeds, but the point is,
we had a hard enough time picking a county executive around here, and I didn't like that system. I think that system's stupid. As a business owner, as a voter, and as a resident, I don't like the outcome that we got there.
This council, including...
I like it so little that I can't even have her on the show because I just don't think it'd be a serious conversation for me. That's all.
Fair enough. Look, this council...
She's welcome to come on and talk about anything if she's... But I have not felt that presence in my time with her. I'll just say that. And she's running the county.
Yeah. This council did not ask her a single public question before appointing her as our county executive. They didn't even allow us, the public, to say the name of the person we would ask that they consider and choose for county executive. They appointed her behind closed doors in a secretive way. Then they tried to oust the attorney general or the inspector general in a secretive, behind closed doors kind of way. They drew councilmanic maps behind closed doors in a secretive kind of way. They passed a 45% increase in their pensions in connection with the council maps secretly in a secretive kind of way. And then they enter into a settlement with a high-ranking government official who was also behind closed doors in a secretive kind of way. This all was within the last, 15 months? It's an extraordinary shortcoming for Baltimore County government. We have so many things we need to work on, so many things to fix. People who are suffering in this county, the poverty, almost half of our households actually live in poverty outside of our schools. And yet, still, we can't get past the very basics and blocking and tackling of government. And these guys want to run county government as the county executive. That does create a passion, right? That does create urgency in this conversation. We can't afford more of the same.
I was in Edgemere last night with my soon-to-be 85-year-old middle school teacher singing Christmas carols, Mr. Statham. Oh. People came from all around the county. He was a 57-year Baltimore County educator. 57 years he taught music in Baltimore County.
There you go.
And born in Baltimore County. He was my guy. So I went over there, and I'm in Edgemere. Let's see if you can see my problem. I'm in Edgemere last night on a cold ass night doing some joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive. So I'm there, and I had tickets at Arundel Mills Mall, not in Baltimore County, to go see The Cure. They had a movie, and I bought the tickets. And I'm like, yeah, just hop out right there, Edgemere, by Costas over to Key Bridge. All right, how the hell am I getting there? All right, I go out, I make a left and a right, and I go to Peninsula High, to the Bruning, to the Logan, to the... All right. Well, maybe I'll just take 695 up to North Point Boulevard, and I'll take Eastern Avenue, which is what I did because Colgate Elementary is there, and I got to go past my elementary school and see it. And I still... And I thought, I'm having Nick and Izzy on tomorrow, and I'm in Baltimore County, and we're going to talk about schools.
Feeling
and
it.
And then I had to get on 95 and go through the tunnel to get to Arundel Mills Mall. Wherever anybody would stand on this, I love that the New York Times wrote the piece about Westernport this week in regard to Trump screwing them after 94% of the population in Westernport voted for Trump. Baltimore County's a little different. I guess, you know, he probably got 30% of the vote, whatever it was. Anyone that sees the bridge as a partisan issue is a piece of manure to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, to see anything like that that services our community and say, I'm going to punish you because you have a black governor, a Democratic governor, you didn't vote for me. I cannot believe at heart anyone in our culture could accept that as acceptable. You know, like, just in a general sense. And I'm talking to you about the Key Bridge, and you're going to say to me, well, it depends on what Daddy thinks in Washington, because that's really what's holding up the parade at this point to getting something done here that is fundamental.
I mean, I
it's
guess.
Fundamental.
I think this speaks to government not being able to get things done anymore. Look, it took us a year before we had to nearly double the cost of what the bridge would take and double the timeline. This is insane. And yet we tolerate this as just the cost of doing business. This is what we expect out of our government. Nonsense. We have got to move more quickly, and we can move in a more cost-efficient way.
It's costing all of us compounded interest every day when it's not there.
Right. So Josh Shapiro, right, had this overpass blow up, you know, in his state. Hundreds of thousands of cars were going over this every single day. And they passed an emergency designation to rebuild this thing. They're like, great, it won't take several years, it'll take a year. He said, I want it to be quicker. They said,
Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And said, oh, it'll take 6 months. He's like, no, I want to do it quicker. And he's like, I'm going to install a camera, and we are going to do this as quick as we possibly can. Everyone's going to see. This will be the test of the administration. Can government work? And they built it in 12 days. We can do hard and big things in this county. We can figure out the way to do it, but we have to get rid of the sacred cows of the way we have used to do things. And that is one thing we have a really hard time. I travel a lot, Nestor. And the question I always find myself asking...
I ran into you in the airport 2 weeks ago.
There you go. Right, why do we do it this way? Why do we do it this way? And the answer that always comes back, whether it's a government, you know, bureaucrat, whether it's someone in the community, it's because this is the way we've always done it. That has to go. There has to be a belief that we can do things better and differently. And that's why we're seeing in Democratic strongholds like California, Illinois, New York, why people have moved, including Maryland, have moved to Texas and to Florida, because they're able to build things and they're able to bring people in who are trying to make a working class living.
Well, this goes back to the federal government cutting jobs and Social Security that affected us, affecting the whole region and the state. The state shortcoming and Kerwin And anytime I talk to my lottery partners, you know, we're raising money for the state and state funded all that. Gamble responsibly, you folks out there, and don't stick these into the stocking stuffers of youngsters. So there's my public service. But the money that we're putting into general funds, it's just, it feels like it's evaporated. Where Hogan beat on his chest and talked about how much money he's had, and all Wes Morris had to do was backpedal. And I'll get the. Wes refuses to come on to the show, so that's another story altogether. So I can't ask him anything, although I did vote for him and support him when he was polling at 2%. But for me, the notion that the state short, all of you, I mean, not just you, Stuart Pittman, I go up to Harford County, would say, we just have less money, yeah, right, than we've had. That is, explain that to me as a citizen, as somebody that may or may not vote for you.
Explain why we have less money?
Yes, and explain what that means for Baltimore County, that we have less money.
I mean, yeah, so some of that was...
How does that come out of our hide as residents here, I would say?
Yeah, look, the knock-on effect is big. We saw the transition happen last year. We were paying more for teacher costs. We were paying more for state fees and expenses. And so there's a transfer of obligations that's being passed down to the localities, which then has its own knock-on effect. What does that mean for Baltimore County? It means that we're going to have a harder time making the investments we need to make in our people to try to get out of this particular rut that we are in.
It's a big thing with bond ratings and all sorts of things, right?
Yeah. It will have huge implications. But the question is not just, hey, how do we manage decline? The question is, how do we grow? We are losing population, like I said, as a state and as a county. We are growing as a county at 0.6% GDP. We should be growing closer to 5% GDP pursuant to peer jurisdictions. We're not doing the simple things that we need to do to be competitive. And the difference that makes in our budget, in our taxable revenue, is extraordinary. It's in
the hundreds of millions. And you think that just begins with the base of, like, can you afford to live here and do you want to be here?
I do.
Right. And you want to be here because the roads are good, the schools are good. Like,
right.
You know, we always say this with Baltimore. We got bones. I mean, you know, we're in a place where we got a football team, we got a baseball team, we got an airport, we got the water, we got Ocean City, we got D.C. there, we got New York there. Right. We have all of those things that would say, but then there's jobs. I mean, I saw that Guinness thing go by a minute ago, and that was a dream that went away, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's unfortunate because that would have been jobs here, right?
We have everything we need right here, right now, to solve our own challenges. We just need the plan to get there, which we don't have. You look at our master plan, which is this document we produce once every 10 years. It covers everything in county government. On economic development, the first bullet point is we don't have a plan for economic growth. We should have one. You often don't see that in a bureaucratic document where it sort of calls out the government, but that's exactly what it did, and that's how dire the situation is. And yet still, we have Trade Point Atlantic, a global logistics hub that can form the basis of a data science, data analytics, advanced manufacturing type of hub to help revitalize what used to be the steel towns that would support it, Dundalk, Turner. Right, you have an opportunity.
I missed out on the tree lighting. They canceled the tree lighting at Trade Point 2 weeks ago. It was too cold and wet. I was supposed to be... Second time I've gotten canceled on a Trade Point.
Oh, is that right?
I keep telling Aaron, one day I'm going to light the tree. But maybe next year.
There you go.
There you go. Get a crab cake at Costas afterward.
But, you know, across this county, you look at Essex. We have Franklin Square. We have the highest performing high school in all the state of Maryland at Eastern Tech. We have CDC now in the Essex.
Eastern Tech? What? I know graduates are there. I'm going to have to text them.
You don't believe me? Okay.
What?
It's tremendous. What is going on is fantastic. And so
it's in Essex. How good can it be?
There you go.
I'm from Dundalk, so.
There's a balance, huh? And so all around this county, if we walked all the way around it, you would see that we have incredible clustered economic assets and the start of something very special. And we also have one of the greatest concentrations of colleges and universities in Baltimore County in all the state of Maryland. And yet we are doing too little with them. And it's partly because we haven't planned and coordinated and created intentionality with our strategy.
Well, I'm a CCBC graduate, so I'm all for education in the county. Nick Stewart is here. He's running for Baltimore County Executive. You can find it. Tell me where your platform is so people can look up points of light.
We're everywhere, but the platform in its fullest way is at nickforbaltimorecounty.com. You'll see it there. We released something called the One County Vision. Very excited for that. Take a look. But it speaks to how do we create vibrancy in Baltimore County, how to create housing, how to create renewal in our county all across. And this is why we got the support of former County Executive Jim Smith and former County Council Chair people Vicky Almond and Tom Quirk. It's because they know how government works. They have been a part of the revitalization effort, but they know it's broken right now. And they know the urgency and the stakes that we are facing right this minute. So I'm very proud to have their support. I mean, Nestor, end of day, I have four kids. They're 9, 8, 6, and 4. We have three boys who are the younger ones, and so you know, everything's chaos, right? It's a mess. But I want them to have a place to grow up in Baltimore County, too. And I want them to be able to build into their community and stay in this place. I want to see my grandkids. I know this is exactly what my friends, my neighbors, and our entire county wants. And now is this moment. If we solve for it, we can do it. But if we don't, we have a real challenging path ahead.
See, you're an old school politician that I can respect as a citizen in doing this. Because when I was going to run for mayor, I had, my wife was just, she's like, you better have a platform. You better have, where's your platform, dude? Where's your platform? And I'm like, this creep's running America. He didn't have a platform other than racial hatred and division. And I'm thinking to myself, you have to have a platform. You have to have a platform. It has to be in a, it has to be in a pamphlet. It has to be in a, you have to door knock. All that stuff that Mueller died. I ain't knocking doors. You out of your mind. Knock on my door. Don't knock on my door.
I think
door.
You'd be good at
don't
it.
Don't knock on my door.
I'll find you.
Don't knock on my door. I don't like it when people knock on my door.
Got it.
So, and I don't, because I'm respectful, I wouldn't knock on other, but you knocking doors?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have great teams who are out there every single week.
So, but I did say to my wife, I told Mueller, I'm not knocking doors and I'm not calling rich people and asking them for money. I'm not, if I run. But my wife said, you got to have a platform. So, I'm a writer, and this is before AI.
Yeah.
So I have a 46-page Fix Baltimore City document that I've never released.
Oh.
I wasn't completely done with it. There were a couple of pieces I needed to edit a little bit. But through all of my Baltimore positive stuff, I was ready to run.
Well, as a
part of being ready to run, my wife's like, I need to read every page of your platform. Because she's old school.
That's a great partner.
Well, she's a New Hampshire person.
Okay.
So she knows about
she
politics
takes her duty
from,
seriously.
From the whole, you know, presidential every 4 years.
That's right.
Her town got taken over by every Gary Hart and every George Bush and every, you know, every candidate there ever, every Dukakis. You know, when she was a kid, they were all hanging out in Manchester for 3 months trying to get elected, right?
Wow.
So she was a part.
It's in the bones.
So she's like, got to have a platform. So
yes.
I know you're proud of your platform.
So we are, but it's more, it's not just about our platform. It's the fact that in a race where most people are running because they have been in elected office for the last 10 years on a full-time basis, which is true in this race, we're not there because I'm not there because it's next. That's not the reason to do this or because I need a promotion. We're there to solve problems and because there's urgency in this. And if we do it right, then we get to talk about there being dignity in each community here in Baltimore County. We get to talk about empowering people to make their own difference and take responsibility for a common good. We get to get back to the values that define us as a people and that I think bring us together with the city and with others. We're not there at this moment. And so this idea that it's just good enough to say, I was there, you should vote for me because I've been around, that's not this moment.
Well, we're talking challenges, we're talking hope, and talking the future with all the Baltimore County executive candidates in the coming days and weeks and months. We're celebrating the holidays. We are at Honey's in Halethorpe. You're a young old schooler. Did you ever know who John Coulihan was? John Coulihan ran for Baltimore County Executive in the 70s. He was the Lion of Halethorpe. That was his.
Yeah.
That was his. He was the attorney who got my parents custody of me. So we had a Coulihan sign on.
Yeah.
I remember.
You vividly, didn't door knock though.
I didn't door knock, but we had a sign, and my dad, and Mr. Coulihan was always right here in this area.
Yeah.
And when I was a boy, I would come over to the office. But when Venatulis found out, you campaign for Coulihan, I beat his ass, is what he said to me. So Ted and I, you know, Ted was a consigliere of mine if I was going to run for mayor years ago.
I got
to
respect
my political career is over. People keep saying to me, my AI clone thinks I want to run for mayor. I had to tell it. Dude.
Telling you where your heart is.
Yeah, don't say that on the radio. You'll never be able to run for mayor. I'm like, my political days are
Well, you know, I had the honor of representing this area on the school board. This was the area: Halethorpe, Baltimore Highlands, Riverview, Lansdowne, Relay. You know,
Arvitas, Don Mahler's wife taught at Lansdowne for many years. Yeah. I had a crush on a girl there about 40 years ago. I DJed a party there, but I haven't driven past Lansdowne High School till today. It's what I said. Like, this is an area of Baltimore County that I have not spent a lot of time. Yeah. And I've been through when I was a boy, like I said, but didn't have a girlfriend here, didn't have a sponsor here. It's kind of county city line. It's inside the Beltway. A lot of things Izzy Patoka talked about inside the Beltway, that it feels more like the city than the county to some people. Mm-hmm. But we're in the county here, and it's just one of those places that, like, well, if I was going to run for Baltimore County Executive, I have to explore places that I haven't been.
Yeah.
And this is one of those unique places.
Yeah.
So.
It is a big county.
It is.
It is a great
county. A lot of people.
Though. Yes, exactly right.
All right, you're going to go see every one of them. Nick Stewart's here. He's got to get out the door. We're here at Honey's in Halethorpe, where they said, what does it take to get you down here to do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour? And I'm like, what, do you have electricity and heat on a cold day? Yeah. I said, you got a table? Yeah. And they said, they got pool tables, they got food, they got beer, they got a package goods here. Come on down and visit. And they've been very nice to me. And at some point, feel a little hungry. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I hear they got some pot stickers and some delicious Asian food here. And they've whipped up some crab cakes for me today, too. So, you know, I'm not going to be impolite. I'm going to eat what they're going to put in front of me. So, Nick,
Aren't you good?
To you, man.
Thank
all
you
right?
so much.
All right, next time I run into you. I ran this guy in the airport a couple weeks ago. He didn't have time. I didn't have time. He's like, I got to go. Don't come on the show. So, I'm glad we got to talk.
Me too.
All
yeah,
right?
I always love it.
All right, Nick Stewart, running for Baltimore County Executive. Go check out his platform. I'm going to come back. Ruffin Bell is going to be here from Coppin State. I lost Sean Stinnett today. I had a flat tire, my former intern, running for delegate. He's feeling bad and apologizing. So now I'm going to have to run Sean out maybe next week to Gertrude's at the BMA. We'll be there on Friday the 19th with Dan Rodericks and my cousin, John Shields. Yes, he is my cousin. My son married into his family.
There you go.
So I have a chefy cousin. I have a foodie cousin. And he's also very entertaining, and I love him. John Shields will be here next Friday. Dan Rodericks. We'll be at Costas in Dundalk with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Schock. She is home for the holidays. I've already spent time with Gina, and we're going to honor my dear friend Eddie Lauer, who we spoke to last night. He had a heart transplant 5 weeks ago. He's out of the hospital. He's home. Wow. He's getting better. He can't come out. He's got dietary restrictions, so I can't send him any of the delicious Maryland crab soup or any of the oysters Rockefeller. But Eddie's getting better. It was great to talk to him, so we're going to wish him well next week as well. And then on Monday the 22nd, back in Baltimore County, we're going to be at Planet Fitness in Timonium eating crab cakes. And I'm going to try to get my fat keister in shape from all the eggnog I'm drinking and all the gingerbread I'm going to be eating with John Shields. Back for more. Word Honey's in Halethorpe. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at GBMC, who are keeping me healthy and happy so I can be in Halethorpe and eating some pot stickers. Coming up next. Stay with us.